School Leadership Podcast from NAHT Edge and NAHT.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the School Leadership Podcast brought to you by NAHT Edge and NAHT. In this month's podcast, we're delighted to bring you the first recorded interview with the new head of Ofsted, Amanda Spielman.
Teaching. Leadership. And the latest developments in schools.
Amanda Spielman succeeded Sir Michael Wilshaw as Her Majesty's Chief Inspector at the start of the year. Prior to becoming the new Ofsted Chief, Amanda was Chair of Ofqual and she was also a founding member of the leadership team at ARC Schools. NAHT Edge Director James Bowen met with Amanda at the Ofsted headquarters in central London and started by asking what particularly appealed to her about the role of Chief Inspector.
It appealed to me enormously because I spent more than 15 years in education on the school side and then on the regulatory side, and I had come to see from all angles the incredible influence that Ofsted has, and when it's done well, what a big difference it can make. So the challenge of taking that on and taking that forward was just immensely attractive.
And how would you describe your vision for Ofsted? I know it's early days, but I think school leaders would be interested to know what your vision is, and also what you hope to achieve in the role.
There are several levels here. The vision is, how do we make sure that what we do adds up to a force for improvement? That's not the same thing as being a school improvement agency. It's how we look at the aggregation of everything we do to make sure that the different strands of work, of reporting, add up to making us what we ought to be and a constructive force. And that takes a surprising amount of thinking about. There's the basic level of making sure that inspection is done really well by the right people and in the right way. That's always going to be a big part of it. And there's providing the honest and useful feedback at every level. And that has to be based on our evidence and insight. And as you think about it and develop it, we're working on that strategic development to really think through all of the ways in which we act on the system to make sure that we understand, that we evaluate, and that we iterate to take forward and make sure that we are as constructive and as valuable as we can possibly be.
And does the idea of being a force for improvement, do you feel that that's a departure from how Ofsted operates now, or is it a sort of just a refining of what's already happening, do you think?
I think it's a development. I think the focus has been very much on the sort of unit level, on the inspection itself, and I think I'm taking forward the thinking, particularly at the system level, about how does this add up into being something that really contributes value.
Is it too early to ask about sort of changes? Is there anything you say this might be the first thing you expect to see slightly different from Ofsted?
I'd love to be able to give you a list today. What I can say is we're thinking at a pragmatic level, really building on that understanding that we have about the direct and indirect effects that Ofsted has on the system, on what are the short-term things, but also building Ofsted in a way that we draw on research, on external research, we monitor the quality of our own processes, how good they are, and monitor the impact and iterate intelligently in the light of what we can see about the good consequences of what we do and the unintended side effects, and make sure that we're always working to minimise the unintended consequences. So it's some of it is about we're going to do this, this and this, and some of it is about developing the machine in a way that continually works towards better and better models.
And at the time when you were appointed, there was perhaps a bit of criticism from some quarters in terms of you not having been a teacher yourself. I'm just interested in terms of your view on that, whether or not you feel that's an issue, and perhaps wonder if even perhaps it could potentially be a positive.
Like everything else in life, there are good sides, good sides as well as drawbacks. I think the particular things I'd put out, and firstly, it means that I can take a perspective on all of Ofsted's remits. We cover a lot of things. Primaries are just as important as secondaries, early years FE, I can look across the whole chain of children's experiences from early years at the very beginning all the way through to FE, and really think about how all of those sit relative to each other. I think that's really helpful. Children's services also tie into that, because that's part of the birth to 25 experience for some children. And it also means I'm not over-reliant on my experiences in one place. That's deep experience in one particular area is an advantage, but it can also be a pitfall. So I think I bring breadth and a broad perspective.
And does that mean, do you feel that there may be a bigger focus, if you like, on evidence as opposed to personal experience? You've talked a lot in the past about an evidence-based approach. Do you think...
That's absolutely right. And I think I used to have research director in my job title, and that's very, very much something I am bringing into this. I want to make sure that our model and how we approach things, how we develop, is very much grounded in evidence. And there isn't always perfect evidence in education, as in anywhere else. There's a base, you're constantly building to it. There's always contest and discussion at the edges, but it's how you move forward, is to have those discussions, is to allow that collective understanding to build and develop. So yes, and Ofsted is an astonishing repository of evidence. We have remarkable access. So thinking about how we draw on that accumulation of knowledge and insight, it's not just that just to get to a judgment and wave goodbye, sort of leave in the notebooks or the computer files. It should be used, it should be drawn on, it should be providing not just for schools themselves, but also for local authorities, for MATs, for policymakers, for everybody who is part of the education and care systems. The evidence and insight that we have should be aggregated, drawn together, interpreted in ways that are helpful to taking things forward in future.
Your predecessor had quite a public profile and appeared in the press quite a lot. We're just interested in terms of, do you think you have a similar public profile? Do you see yourself as perhaps a quieter chief inspector? What can we expect in that sense?
I'd like to think that I will say what needs to be said when it needs to be said, and that what I say will always be grounded in our evidence and work.
And linked to that, it's been interesting for people within schools in recent years. One of the things we've noticed is that it feels, I think, to school leaders, like Ofsted have tried to reach out a lot more. So people, again, like Sean on Twitter, who uses social media to engage directly with the profession. Do you see yourself doing that? Are you going to be an active social media user, or are there other ways that you'll look to engage?
For a good many years, I've tried to go to a lot of conferences, teacher events, get myself to places where I have a chance to talk to people and to go to listen, not just to stand on a platform and speech, but to go and listen. So for me, having conversations at every level, being out and about enough that people can talk to me is very important. And that applies to our inspectors as well, actually. I spent 3 out of the 4 days in my first week going to conferences for all our inspectors, not just talking to them, but doing a speed date around conference tables to give everybody a chance to tell me the things they thought I ought to hear in my first week. I'm already putting quite a bit of time into talking to people outside, trying to make sure I hear and have a chance to think, pulling together perspectives from all directions. And I think that will be very important going forward. I shouldn't get isolated in this office. Lovely as this space is, I shouldn't be spending too much time here. I should be spending time out and about and working with the team to make sure that happens.
And a follow-on question from that, I suppose, from an NHT perspective, does that mean you'll look to engage with head teachers and middle leaders and try and involve them as much as you can in some developing the future of Ofsted? And will you look to work with NHT in particular?
Absolutely, the sort of school and the school associations, I think are very important relationships for us to help make sure that we shape things as we go forward in constructive ways and in the light of input. I think they've been very important in the past and will continue to be in the future. I think NHT is genuinely one of the organisations that can help us achieve this objective of being a force for improvement. We are, at the end of the day, all part of the same system, trying to improve children's lives through education and through care.
If I can ask perhaps a few more specific questions now. One of the ones that's interesting, I know, to our members, you mentioned at the Select Committee potentially needing to look at the outstanding grade again. And I think at the time you said about some of the negative effects that go unintentionally with the outstanding grade. And I wonder if it's possible you could perhaps talk a bit more about that and whether or not you do think it might be time in the future to look again at the use of outstanding.
This comes in a wider context about the purpose of inspection and what are we expecting inspection and inspection reports to achieve. Because grades don't stand in isolation, they're there for a purpose. So I very much want us to be looking at those purposes and making sure that we have sort of national agreement on the purposes and their relative importance. And from that, we will be able to keep on refreshing the view on whether we have the right reporting structures, the right grading, and outstanding is a sort of piece of that. Anecdotally, the kinds of things that people talk about to me, one is around recruiting heads to outstanding schools where the only way it may be seen to be down. Another is around sort of the extent to which workload may be created in schools in order to maximise the likelihood of achieving or retaining an outstanding grade. Those are things that deserve examination.
The other terms, in terms of a specific one, when I speak to middle leaders and heads, one of the things they say is, at times the Ofsted regime can feel perhaps slightly punitive, it will put people off going for headship because of the risks that are associated with what if I don't get a good grade and the kind of the pressures that come to bear on school leaders. And I suppose my question is whether or not you have any sympathy with that view, and if there's a way of thinking about how we can make sure inspections stay robust, yet at the same time don't become too high stakes and stressful for school leaders.
Yes, and there are two separate things wrapped up here, aren't there? One is around the integrity of inspection itself, and one is around the consequences that get hung off inspection. And there's always going to be a conversation to have about the interaction of those, and what you can. How far you can interpret and use an inspection result in any consequence. And that's a sort of difficult place where policy and practice come together and where there should always be a live conversation. I've been really encouraged, actually, by what I've heard about the development of inspection over the last couple of years. I'm starting to see and hear some really positive things where schools say, actually, their inspection turned out to be a constructive and practically enjoyable experience. I'm sort of delighted to hear that, because that suggests to me that we are in a place where a lot of the time inspection is about working with the sector, not working against it. So I think that's something to take forward. It's got to be ultimately about working with the sector towards improvement. And if we all have that in mind and think about the interpretation of inspection in that way, then let's hope we can move things in a good direction.
And I suppose related to that, recently, in the last few years, we've seen some really positive signs from Ofsted, I think, particularly around sort of the myth-busting work that Sean Harford's led on. I know that's gone down really well in schools. And I suppose the question is that something you think you look to continue, the sort of tackling myths or practices that are leading to excessive workload that actually aren't expected by Ofsted? Is that something that you'd look to continue?
Very much so. I'm delighted by what's been done already on that front, and it ties into what I was talking about wanting to understand the impact that Ofsted has directly on schools and also indirectly, where people come to believe that Ofsted expects to see this, or you can only get a certain grade if you do that. So I think the myth busting itself and the wider programme of work around that are going to be important pieces of our programme going forward.
And can I pick up one question around? We've mentioned a few times about kind of evidence based, and I think perhaps in some quarters, perhaps what sometimes that's being heard as Ofsted will become a more data driven organisation. I think perhaps sometimes people are equating evidence equals data. Do you think that will be the case when inspections become more data-driven processes, or is that the human interaction still going to be critical, do you think?
The human side is immensely important. Our accountability system is built partly on data and data analysis and performance tables, and partly on inspection, which has this very personal human impact. And in a sense, the two need to stay in balance So inspection has got to be the thing where you can where you can see and understand all the things that data doesn't capture, and use that to come to as a rounded overall view. So being somebody who has had quite a few years in the exam system on the measurement of education at Ofqual, I really understand what the data can do, but also what the data can't do and can't tell you. So I think that the message for everybody should be that Ofsted is about complementing the data and being informed and using the data. So no, I very definitely don't see that human side as something to be squeezed out of the system. That's not what I mean by evidence.
And if I can ask a question, it'd be interesting just to ask you around your views on peer review within any future system. NHT have worked for a long time in terms of developing peer review systems, and I wondered what your thoughts were in terms of whether or not peer review could have a role in a future inspection system.
One of the really interesting things is that actually Ofsted already is a big peer review model in that nearly 40% of inspection days are actually carried out by Ofsted inspectors, the part-time Ofsted inspectors, who are in the main serving practitioners. So building on that, developing that, and making sure that we're really capturing that expertise and using that special kind of knowledge and insight and experience for inspection to drive the model forward is, I think, is a really important line of thinking for us.
And if I can ask a final question, I'm interested, obviously in recent years we've had the development of a national schools commissioner, a regional schools commissioner. And it'd be interesting just to ask how you see Ofsted's relationship with regional school commissioners working in terms of making sure we have joined up accountability rather than schools feeling that they've got multiple levels of accountability answering to different people.
We've got a system that's very much in evolutionary mode at the moment. We've got new institutions in various directions. We've got MATs as well as the different levels of schools commissioners. So I think we're at a time when it's hard for schools to be really clear about where things sit, and I do see that as being part of our work over the next year or two to make sure that there's the kind of clarity at all levels that means that schools know what to expect and where from. So yes, I do see that as something that we will be putting some effort into.
NAHT Edge is a union and professional association aimed at teachers with leadership responsibilities. Whether you're a subject coordinator, year leader, key stage leader, early years leader, Senko, or head of department, we offer full trade union protection and high quality advice. In addition, our weekly newsletter and monthly podcast keeps you up to speed with the latest developments in education. Membership of NAHT Edge costs just £13.50 a month. Find out more by visiting www.nahtedge.org.uk.
This is the School Leadership Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of the School Leadership Podcast. You can, of course, make sure you never miss a future episode simply by subscribing via iTunes. NAHT is a professional association and union for school leaders. To discover more about the benefits of being an NAHT Edge or NAHT member, go online to nahtedge.org.uk/join or www.nahtedge.org.uk/join. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter @NAHTEdge and NAHT News. We'll see you next time.